Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in the Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. This passage, unlike any other, just destroys the concept of once you're saved, you're always saved. The Apostle Paul writing to Christians, and he's telling these Christians that if we live in these type of ways, that God's wrath will be incurred against us and we'll be destroyed by the destroyer. And there's a lot of them. There's idolatry, sexual immorality, testing God, complaining, murmuring, all of those sins in the desert. There's a lot to avoid, a lot to overcome. Brothers and sisters, we ought not ever think that we're invincible. We can fail, and we probably do, looking at our past far too often. And so, and yet, when we think about things like that, I don't want us to drift to the other side of the spectrum and think that I can't overcome sin, I can't avoid sin. We've been studying on Wednesday nights in chapter 6 of the book of Romans that we are not to let sin have dominion over us. We're to be striving against sin, that we are slaves to what we obey, whether sin leading to death or righteousness that leads unto eternal life. And so what I want us to focus on for a few moments this morning is verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13, if you were wondering where I was reading from, I was reading the first 12 verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This passage is a passage that says, yes, we can. It's a tremendous biblical passage. It had a huge impact on me as I was training to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ back in 1984. The preacher, Joe Shane, had me memorize this verse. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape so that we may be able to bear it. Very important verse. I would ask you to commit that to memory. It is so good. It's so vital. It's so helpful for us as we're trying to not be like the Israelites and understanding the premise of yes, we can because God is faithful. What I'm going to do for a few moments this morning is just take this particular verse and just look at the four points that are given for us that are so helpful so that we can overcome the sin that wants to destroy our soul. The first point I want you to see is that temptations are just simply a fact of life and they're for everybody. It is just something that all people have to bear. Temptation. Let me try the Greek word here. The Greek word is pirasmos. And by definition, it means of putting to proof by experiment. And believe it or not, it can be good or bad. Now you're saying, how can it possibly be good? Well, what if you're tempted by a piece of cheesecake? You would think that might be a pretty good temptation, right? And we have often given ourselves over to temptations like that. Nothing wrong with cheesecake. Cheesecake is perfectly fine in and of itself. And we indulge. We have been tempted to eat the cheesecake. It's perfectly fine. But the problem is in the bad direction. It's when we are put to proof by experiment of going that direction which is in opposition to God, in tempting us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It tests man's fidelity. It tests his virtue and his integrity of where he's going to stand with God. It is the battle of enticements that allure men away from God, a trial to elicit desires. That is the temptations that we're very concerned about. And this is the work of the devil. This is exactly where he's focused. When we think about what Peter had to say in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, that we need to beware of that devil that acts as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is his choice mode of operation. We go all the way back to the very Garden of Eden and how he started. The serpent that was among them in the book of Revelation refers to the devil as that serpent of old that was tempting Eve to go on and eat forbidden fruit. She ate it, didn't she? Well, what did he do? He lied to her. He enticed her. Said, look at that particular fruit. It's not going to kill you. It's going to make you wise like God. She bought it. She ate it. Yes, she gave in to the temptation. She was deceived, but she gave in to the temptation. Now, often Satan doesn't work that way. And I don't think he's going to be speaking literally in our ears. That's not the way that he works today. God's not literally speaking in our ears today. But usually temptations come just by simply the observance of something that's out there. Most often it's kind of like this. In Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 10, the proverb writer is giving us wisdom. And he says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. How many times have we sinned because somebody's encouraged us to go in a bad direction? Someone's encouraged us to violate some principle of God. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone, but usually it's something that we see, someone around us, something is involved in tempting us to go in a direction that we know that we ought not go. The power of this passage, and that's how we have it there, no temptation has overtaken us except such as come to man. There's a lot said in that little phrase. That's what temptation does. It kind of overtakes us. It kind of overwhelms us and begins the process of sin, that it entices our lust. It inflames us in a sense, encouraging us to act upon the temptation. And when we begin acting upon the temptation in a way in which God doesn't want us to, that's when sin ends up getting conceived and gives birth and then eventually will bring death through the full practice of that sin. That's the design of the way temptation is. Temptation is that starting block. But recognize that there is no temptation that has been placed before us that God says we can't handle. God is telling us that the temptations that come before us is common to man. In other words, God is the devil's not out there sending you extra special x-rays or using lasers or computers or technologies in things that just simply stun you as a robot and you just don't have a choice in the matter. It's not something that's so mega strong that you can't handle it if you desire not to handle it. We need to recognize that these type of things have happened to others. The temptations that you suffer with are temptations that are common to other people, that other people have had to deal with them. They've dealt with them and they've overcome them. And just that simple recognition is helpful, because when you're in the mode of temptation, it feels like this is the worst thing that could happen. I just simply can't avoid it. It's kind of like being a bug drawn to the light. I can't stop the force. God is telling us the force isn't that strong. You can stop it. You can turn your eyes away from it. You can turn your heart away from it. Someone somewhere is battling this temptation. Someone somewhere is overcoming it. And if they can do that, we can do that too. We know our Lord was, right? We know that Jesus was tempted, as the Hebrew writer said in chapter 4. He was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet is without sin. What that says is Jesus was tempted in all the forms and the likenesses that we have suffered with, and he overcame every single one of them. And we are encouraged to follow Jesus, to walk in his footsteps. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 3. Excuse me, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Yet you've not resisted to bloodshed, striving after sin. The Hebrews have been through a lot of trouble. You read that especially in chapter 10. They've had the plundering of their goods because of the faith that they had in Christ Jesus. And yet the Hebrew writer reminds them, you've not had to give your life in order to resist sin. In other words, you can do this. That's what the Hebrew writer is saying. You can overcome. You can overcome whatever temptations are going. I think the major temptation the Hebrews were suffering was the temptation to return to Judaism. Because remember, at the time of this writing, Judaism still sparkled like gold. It had all the pomp and circumstance. It had all the things that would entice people and allure people to have an eyeball type of religion. There's a lot of eyeball type of religions all around us in our generation that want us to come over to that. The Hebrew writer is trying to tell us, no, it's what you have to do is you have to resist temptation, even to the point of bloodshed. And if you go back just a few chapters, in chapter 2 and in verse 18, remember this. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. So I want to leave this first point with that recognition that God is able to come to our aid when we're suffering temptation. He has suffered. He knows what the sufferings and the temptations are in life. He lived here as a man in a body of flesh. He always overcame. And he's more than willing to help us to overcome as well. We have to recognize also from this point, not only are temptations a fact of life, but we as Christians must trust in God's faithfulness. God is faithful. It might be one of the most important things to help us. Temptations do everything within their power to dampen that sentiment in our hearts, to weaken our faith in God. Satan keeps boring down, encouraging us to go in a wrong direction, and our minds begin to play with us and say, all these temptations, obviously, I must not be a very strong Christian. Maybe this God stuff is just too much bearing all these temptations. Maybe it begins to weaken our resolve and our faith in God and who He is. But God is faithful. God is powerful. He has promised that He can and He will protect us and look after us and look over us. We learn about the story of David. How many times did Saul pursue him? His enemies pursue him. And so many of the Psalms reflect the sentiments that the enemies of God and the enemies of David seem to forever be at his heels and behind his footsteps. And yet it was the writers that loved David and spoke with David and said in the 46th Psalm in verse 1, God is a refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake and it's swelling. They're not going to be moved. Drop down to verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God is faithful. Do not listen to the lusts that are screaming within your head. God is not here. God doesn't see. God doesn't care. God wouldn't help you anyway. Because that's what temptation wants us to think about. If we turn our Bibles a little bit over to the Proverb letter in chapter 3. Proverbs, the third chapter, in verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. That's where temptations get in the head. We began to lean on our own abilities. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Last Sunday morning, mentioned the song, Sing and Be Happy, and there was that little phrase in there that I kind of emphasized. Trust in His promises grand. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Lean on Him. He shall direct your paths. And I tell you, all of us, there's none of us that are exempt. It doesn't matter if we're an elder or deacon, gospel preacher, just regular member of the Lord. It doesn't matter who we are. I think about a great individual. If there's one that appears great within the Holy Scriptures of God, wouldn't it be Michael the archangel? Do you think he'd need any assistance? But there in Jude, the ninth verse, it says, Michael the archangel, contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. He says here, Michael the archangel, contending with the devil. That's what we're doing when we're dealing with temptations. We're contending with the devil. And we need to recognize God's right here with us. I mean, if we'll have that type of respect and cry out with the urgency like Michael the archangel, knowing the Lord is very present with us and He will help us, I think that'll go a long way in being able to defeat the devil. Remember what it says there in that song we just sung a few moments ago, 425. When I'm facing temptations alone, where can I go but to the Lord? We ought not be striving alone. We ought to be striving together with our God. In James chapter 4 and in verse 7 and 8, I know I bring up that passage a lot. There's a reason for it, because I want you to ever remember it. Where he says, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. When the devil is at us with temptations, draw near to God, and with God's help, he will flee. He will flee. Trust in God's faithfulness. Let's go to a third point in this text. Pray fervently for God's avenue of resistance. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. Think about the power of that, that God will make a way of escape. Again, you're not going to receive some mega powerful, irresistible temptation. You're going to receive something that is common to other people, that other people have had to deal with exactly what you're dealing with, and God is faithful, who has promised us that He will come to our aid. How will He come to our aid? That's always the big question. Exactly how's that going to happen? Well, a lot of it is preventative medicine. You know, a lot of times to avoid being sick, we need to be living healthy, eating healthy, trying to be healthy. That sometimes just cures the sickness before the sickness ever comes to us. In the Psalms, the 19th Psalm, you might recall what the famous Psalm said there in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Look at this, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I will emphasize the idea of making wise and enlightening the eyes, because that's what we're talking about here. The idea of being wise and enlightened at moments of temptation, that's when we need it the most. And one of the best ways of doing that is knowing what's in this book. It's having a good understanding, a good understanding of book, chapter, and verse, so that when temptation comes, book, chapter, and verse can come to our minds, enlighten us in the midst of temptation, make us wise in the midst of temptation. Temptation is crying out for us to disobey God. Temptation is trying to lure us away from God. If we have these principles in our hearts and our minds, and when we are in the midst of temptation, how important it is for us to remember what God has said. Doesn't that just make sense? It's important for us to be wise and enlightened at critical times like that. And if we will combine what the Son of God told His close disciples in Mark chapter 14 and in verse 38. Mark chapter 14 and in verse 38. Remember He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's the issue. The flesh is weak. Temptation bears down on the flesh. But if we're prepared, if we know what the Word of God is, we're watching and we're praying, oh, we are on our way to being able to override and overcome that temptation. And if we still struggle, if we're still just massively struggling, I recommend what James had to say in James chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the night. If we can't figure it out, we have weapons, scriptures, brothers and sisters, being alert, watchful, prayerful, asking for God's wisdom. How do I deal with this? How do I overcome this? What is it that you would like me to personally do in this particular situation? We talk and we preach about the providence of God. We need to believe in the providence of God. There's a passage of Scripture in Proverbs, the Psalms, the 77th Psalm. that's had a bearing in my life. I think about the 77th Psalm in verse 1 where he says, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God. And I was troubled, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. This takes me back to the days when I was grappling with, am I going to enter the Air Force as a second lieutenant in 2 days? Or am I going to preach the gospel of Christ and try to figure out how to do that for a life? I remember about 10 o'clock at night, I went into my room and closed the door and I prayed. I prayed to about 4 in the morning, fervently, passionately on my knees. Give me insight, Lord. What would you like for me to do? About 4 in the morning, I decided, I think I'm going to try to learn to preach. And I kind of went to bed, kind of that sign on the fleece. You go back to Gideon's days. If I wake up in the morning still feeling this way, that's what I'm going to do. I jumped out of bed. I never jump out of bed, right, Sander? Never. Unless there's a phone ringing. That morning, I jumped out of bed, immediately tried to figure out what to do to pursue preaching the gospel. I haven't looked back. The Air Force, they haven't come looking for me either, but we need to pray. Believe in the providence and the wisdom of God, that God gives us wisdom of how to escape, what He wants us to do with the decisions we make in our life. One more point. Be ready to act on God's escape from temptation. Be ready to act. We've been given the tools. We know what God wants. We've been given His will in Scripture. We've been told to watch and pray. We've been told to come to Him and ask for wisdom. And He will liberally give us the wisdom to make the right decisions where He wants us to go. Trust in His promises grand and be ready to act on God's escape that He has made the way of. I tell you, the story that comes to my mind, of course, is Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife was probably a very beautiful woman. That's just the way it was when you were basically royalty. Potiphar was a part of basically the entourage of Egypt. And so he probably had a very beautiful wife, and we know that he was a eunuch. So the story kind of helps us understand. Joseph was a handsome man, 2 and 2 is 4, as Barney Fife always said. And she sought him and sought him daily to seduce him. Well, one day she grabbed him. What did he do? He ran. He ran away from her, saying, I cannot do this and sin against my master and my God. He knew what God had to say concerning such things. We need to do what's right. We need sometimes to take action, immediate flight away from sin and temptation. I want to read one more passage, and I'm going to be ending this particular section of Scripture. In Luke chapter 12 and in verses 11 and 12, very serious moments. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 11, said, now when they bring you to synagogues and magistrates and they bring you before authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now, if we understand the New Testament and study the text, Jesus was talking to His closest disciples that were very soon going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, were going to be thoroughly imbued with spiritual gifts and work all kinds of miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt the Holy Spirit was personally communicating with these fellows here. And they needed to recognize that point. The Holy Spirit's not going to whisper in your ear, but the Holy Spirit has spoken. We've got it down here in 27 books, the New Covenant, the message of the Spirit in contrast to the message of the letter. We've been studying that in the book of Romans. When things are really, really, really tough, the Holy Spirit has spoken. We need to rely on what the Holy Spirit has told us. We need to rely on these biblical passages and do what the passages say. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it's going to end up for our best here on earth. The Holy Spirit, as I think about Stephen, remember in Acts chapter 7? I think the Holy Spirit was kind of directing that fellow as well when he accused them of being stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart, and he lived only a few more moments after he said such things. But many have talked about Jesus standing at the right hand of God watching the first martyr die for Him. Didn't end up well for him on earth, but boy, the heavenly reward. We just were convinced, right? Stephen's there. Stephen's in the bosom of Abraham. No doubt about it. Our God is going to help us to do what's best and right. Be ready to take whatever action is necessary. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 12, Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach, for we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We are a sacrificial people. That's what Paul's dealing with to the Corinthians. We may have to sacrifice it all to overcome temptation. But the way of escape is always there. It's there. Do we have the courage and the fortitude and the faith to do what must be done to overcome that temptation? What a wonderful passage that is. God is saying that there's no temptation that's overtaken you that's not common to everybody else. God's faithful. He's not going to allow you at your level of faith and experience to be tempted beyond what you can personally handle. But he's going to be there with you. He's going to provide a way of escape so that you can bear it, overcome it, deal with it, and conquer it. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. Do you need to be forgiven of yielding unto temptation? That's what an invitation is for, to give you that opportunity to say, I'm sorry. I repent. I'm going to start living right, turning back. And today is that day that I'm going to start living the way Jesus wants me to. If this message has touched you and encouraged you to do that which is right, be willing to come forward. We can pray with you. We can pray for you. We can try to help you to find the solutions of Scripture that you need to overcome. If there's someone in the audience that would like to do that, please come to the front as Chris now leads us together in song.